Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. We're on tonight and every night here from the El Pacifico, our studios out here on the very far western edge of these here United States. Join us online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com for Phil TV in HD. We're there right now, live, and a lot of other things you can see on our website at, with a backstage pass. We have Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center to join us this hour to talk about today's biggest story, which was the arrest of George Zimmerman in the killing of Trayvon Martin. Now, you know that this is a, or you may not know, this is a second-degree murder charge. It is not a manslaughter charge, but it's also not a first-degree murder charge. We're reading now from the Associated Press release. Amid furious public pressure to make an arrest in the killing of Trayvon Martin, the special prosecutor on the case went for the maximum Wednesday, bringing a second-degree murder charge against the neighborhood watch volunteer who shot the unarmed black teenager. George Zimmerman, 28, was jailed in Sanford, the site of the shooting February 26th that set off a nationwide debate over racial profiling and self-defense. Elsewhere in the story, we are told that this second-degree murder charge under Florida's stand-your-ground law must be brought if the shooter or the individual is being charged evidences a, quote, depraved frame of mind. Now, what they mean by that is not that the guy is a depraved guy. It means that in that instance, his mind was not working in a legal or sensible or logical way. It was working in a manner that was above and beyond or below and beneath what the way human beings should act. Second degree murder means, and we'll get on Dean Wheeler here. Second degree murder means essentially that you are using deadly force in a situation where you should not use deadly force, and I would imagine, and you know that, and of course you know. We're all adults and we're all citizens of this country and we're all supposed to know the law. You know, as the saying goes, ignorance of the law does not mean you're not subject to it. Dean, how are you this evening?
I'm doing very well, Phil, and thank you for this is a very important issue, and we join in with Americans across this country in celebrating. And I use the bad word. That's not a good word to use. We're not celebrating the arrest of Mr. Zimmerman. We are simply appreciating the American system tonight working in the way it should, which is to bring to justice a man who murdered, I think is the words of the prosecutor, a young man.
Well, we don't know the guilt or innocence of this man. We just know there's an arrest.
There has been an arrest. And yes, there has been an arrest, but there is also, I think there is an understanding by myself, by people all over this country, that this is a man that killed this young man, murdered him, and justice is going to be served.
Well, no, I don't think that there's an agreement on that, you know.
Well, if you look, and when you say there's not an agreement on that, I suppose you're talking about the handful of people who have decided to make this a racial issue. I have never made this a racial issue.
No, I'm not. I'm talking about people who are looking at this situation.
Well, Phil, I think what you need to do is stop drinking the Kool-Aid here and let's talk about this. There is a man who's driving with a gun. It's loaded. And then another man is shot. Now, you don't drive around with a gun.
Well, I'm going to interrupt you, man. I'm not drinking any Kool-Aid here.
I beg your pardon?
I'm not drinking any Kool-Aid. What Kool-Aid do you think I'm drinking?
Well, the Kool-Aid you're drinking is this belief that there's a racial... The racial element here, Phil, is, if anything, it's an anti-black racial element. But I think that what has happened... is that some people are saying, well, Mr. Zimmerman was set upon by a thug. What we have is a thug armed with Skittles. So I don't want to go through this stuff again. We've been through it. It's very clear. The man with the gun is the man who did the killing. The man who didn't have a gun, didn't have a knife, didn't have anything other than the items that I mentioned, is dead.
It's not beyond the possibility of life, and it's not beyond possibility in the law that even with Mr. Zimmerman being fully armed, that he was acting in some form of self-defense.
Well, that has been discussed, and this is what I mean by the Kool-Aid. You're going over things that have already been talked about and have already been explained.
Well, give me the explanation again. I mean, if I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, then I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I don't know what, you know.
Well, it's a lot of people drink the Kool-Aid, Phil, and don't know. You know, they just think they're having a cup of coffee. But you know, if you're telling me that, oh well, George Zimmerman, you know, it could have been self-defense. That's a Kool-Aid drinker.
And all right, let's dispense with Kool-Aid drinker and tell me why you believe that that is a ridiculous statement to make, if you will, or not a ridiculous statement, but it's a. Tell me why you believe that. Mr. Zimmerman could not have been acting in any kind of self-defense whatsoever.
All right, I'll give it to you. I got to tell you, I appreciate being on your program, Phil, but I hope this is the last time that any of us has to explain this.
Well, there's going to be a lot of the courtroom is where a lot of this explanation's going to be happening.
Well, but again, the good news is George Zimmerman is in custody. The good news is George Zimmerman's in custody. So the spade work, if you will, and the heavy lifting's been done.
And all right. Well, give me again why you think it is that Martin, Zimmerman could not possibly have been acting in self-defense.
Well, it's very simple. Here's a man who was following a man. He was told he told them that he was following him. He even made the statement, "Oh, they always get away with it." It bothers me that I even have to explain this.
It
does. This has been gone over and over and over again. It really bothers me.
Well, what I'm trying to do here is post-arrest set up what possibly could be the prosecution's assault, if you will, on this case, or the prosecution's take.
Anyone can see what the prosecution's... That's the problem I'm having here. It seems like... You tell me you're not drinking the Kool-Aid.
And I'm not drinking any Kool-Aid. I don't like the reference.
Then why are you asking me to explain how it could not possibly have been self-defense when this has been explained over and over?
I have not heard it explained thoroughly from beginning to end. I've got my own take on it.
Well, all right. I'm going to give it to you, but I'm so tired of having to explain this. I'm really just so weary of having to explain this over and over again. Just grinding.
If you would explain to me your thinking on this Zimmerman's impossibility.
All right, let me give it to you this way. George Zimmerman is following this kid. He tells them that he's following the kid. He even is heard on this 911 tape saying, "They always get away." What does that mean? It means he's already tried and convicted Trayvon Martin as one of them. Well, I'm not saying that he's talking about a black man, although he probably is. He is talking, in fact, though, to some kind of a criminal when he says, "They always get away." So he's made that statement, and in his mind, he has already turned Trayvon Martin into a killer. Now he's told by the 911 operator, "Are you following him?" "Yes." "You don't do that anymore. We don't want you to do that anymore." Now, the "they always get away" statement is made after he's told not to follow the kid. But he's asking me to explain it again.
Who are you talking to?
Well, Rich Jedman is here, and a few of the people from the Holistic Center are here, and they're really, they can't believe that I'm having to explain this.
Just continue, if you wouldn't mind.
All right. So he's told, don't follow. Now he has apparently stopped following. He's out of his truck. He's looking at a street sign. He says that Mr. Martin approaches him from behind. We were led to believe that he was jumped, but we are now told that he turned around and said a few words to Mr. Martin. And the words were Martin saying, "Have you got a problem with me?" Mr. Zimmerman says, "No." And conveniently, Mr. Martin strikes him in the nose. Now, that's a very short conversation, and it certainly is convenient because it's not a lot to remember when you're speaking to the police. If you have a more involved conversation...
All right, so you're assuming that Mr. Zimmerman's lying.
I just find the comment, do you have a problem with me? No, I don't. Well, you got one now. I think that conversation is just short enough for a guy to remember. It explains some of his injuries, not all of them. But it also is a very unusual thing for a man to say to someone that he has been following for quite some time, that he called 911 on, that he is concerned about, to the point where he says, they always get away. Now, all of a sudden, when Mr. Martin asks him, do you have a problem with me? He says, no. Just simply, no. And conveniently for Mr. Zimmerman, Mr. Martin responds, well, you do now, punch. So the aggressive, violent, for no reason suspect comes to light and comes to life for George Zimmerman.
So you believe that, all right, in listening to that, Dean...
And again, Phil, I've got people here in the office, here at Northern California Holistic, who don't think I even should have gone into it. And I know one of them is Reg, you know it. It's wrong to do that.
All right, I don't want to talk to them, I want to talk to you. We're going to take a break here, Dean. Hang on the line. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. As we talk here with Dean Wheeler about George Zimmerman's arrest and how, in Mr. Wheeler's mind, he is guilty already. And he just ran down for us his view of those events. But Dean Wheeler and others at the Northern California Holistic Center, and probably others in this country, are already celebrating not just the arrest, but what they know, what they think will be the conviction of George Zimmerman. 877-876-7445. 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
It's wrong. Red, shut up. It's wrong.
On the line with me is Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center. What was your comment to me, Dean?
I just think that when you are talking about the George Zimmerman case with the American public, you run the risk. People are not that educated as to the law. And what has happened here in the Zimmerman case is very specific to whether it's intentional, whether it is, whether it's second-degree homicide.
Well, I'm still going to take phone calls from my audience because that's what we do.
I understand that, but I don't know that you're going to get any clarity.
That is something that we don't judge before the fact. We just take the phone calls from people, and I'm happy to do it. Our number 877-876-PHIL, but your stance is George Zimmerman is a guilty man.
Oh, without question, yeah.
And he will be found that way?
Unless you get one of these southern juries. My understanding, this is in Florida somewhere.
Central Florida.
All right. Well, Central Florida. Now, that is almost like the rural South.
All right. Well, but you don't... So what are you saying? I mean, now you're saying he won't get a fair trial.
I'm saying that he is guilty, and I think he will be found guilty unless you get one of these southern juries. That's all.
Okay. 877-876-7445 is the number here on the Phil Henry Show. Let's go to John. Go ahead, John. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Dean Wheeler.
Hey, how you doing? I was basically...
Good, sir.
I was listening to this whole debate all day today, and I formed my own opinions of it. Now, I mean, this guy talks about the law, but, I mean, it's not illegal to observe things that are going on in your neighborhood, especially these days. These days, it's people tell you should look out for your neighborhood. And I'm not saying the guy was right or wrong.
Yeah.
But
when you talk about terrorism... when you're talking about terrorism,
Okay, but nobody is psychic. He didn't know that the guy had a bag of Skittles. He didn't know that he was 17. He saw a suspicious-looking character in his neighborhood, and out of goodness of his own whatever...
But that's the profiling, you see. He profiled him when he said, when you say suspicious, what is suspicious about a boy walking down the street talking on a phone? What's suspicious about that?
He didn't. My point is, it's not illegal for him to observe this man. Now... If he was observing him and the kid didn't do anything, obviously would have came to no avail. Nothing would have happened. Why? I mean, we talk about him, what he did. What about what the kid did? Why did the kid approach the man who didn't threaten him, who didn't do anything, you know, to him? He followed him, yes.
Are you kidding? Well, we don't know that he did. George Zimmerman, well, if someone's following you, I'm not confrontational this way. I don't know how you, but some people don't like to be followed. I don't know how you are.
Okay, but he had a cell phone. He could have used his cell phone and called the cops just like the Zimmerman guy did, right?
Well, what would you do, sir? Are you saying that you wouldn't turn around and perhaps in a friendly way say, excuse me, sir, why are you following me? Is everything an occasion to call the police? This is not George Zimmerman now. This is Mr. Trayvon Martin, and maybe he didn't think he needed to call the police. Maybe he just needed to say to the man, hi, how are you? Why are you following me? This is why he's guilty.
You keep saying he's guilty. Yeah, this man is...
You can't say he's guilty.
You're saying that the young man had no right to be black.
No.
That's ridiculous.
No, he didn't.
The young man had choices. The young man had choices that he could have made, too. You know, and at the end of the day, how do you know he didn't approach him and say, hey, you ass, why are you following me? Get the hell out of my house.
And how do we know that Zimmerman didn't come out of his truck firing?
Exactly. So how can you say he's guilty?
Because of what we heard on the tape, and the tape said that Zimmerman, the lady told Zimmerman to back off.
What the operator said was, we don't need you to keep doing that.
She said we don't need you to. She didn't say will not or will not. That's exactly what she said.
I think she said to him,
I heard it a hundred times. All right, you heard the tape.
And she said on the tape, George, you keep doing this, we're going to have to arrest you.
No, she did not say that.
She did not say that. Don't
ask. I believe she did. NBC edited it.
No, NBC didn't edit that.
She said,
what did NBC edit out? That George Zimmerman said,
we got another one in the neighborhood. Listen, yeah. You're drinking the Kool-Aid that says he's automatically guilty. No, sir.
Can I just say this? What did George Zimmerman mean when he said, they always get away? Well, he meant the N-word, didn't he?
The N-word? Not necessarily.
He said they always get away, and he's
okay.
But you said earlier
that he could have been a criminal. The point is, if you in your own neighborhood, I saw somebody walking through rainy day hoodie. My neighborhood has had break-ins lately. I have a child in my home. I don't know where this guy is going. I might follow him too. And you know what? I would keep my distance, which I suspect the man did too. I wouldn't be following him 10 feet.
You suspect? How can you suspect that when he pulled out a gun and put a slug into the kid? That's not keeping your distance.
All right, look, I think we're going in circles now. You're making some very good points here, John. You're making some very good points, and I'm glad you're making these points, which is we don't know. We have to hear this evidence unveil in a court of law. We got to hear with the tape, unedited. We got to know what the eyewitnesses are saying. This debating this stuff on the radio, you know.
Mr. Henry, that is Kool-Aid drinking. You know this guy's guilty.
No, I don't know that.
No, that's the thing.
No, I don't know that.
How can you truly say that?
I'll tell you why. The smoking gun is when he says we got too many of these N-words or something. He didn't say N-word, but...
He said we've got a lot of these...
You're inciting more hate against the guy.
I'm trying to remember.
He said simply...
Look, your door's open. I just heard your door open.
If
a guy came up to you right now and said, I don't like you Mexicans, I don't know what, you know.
Let's stick to the point here. The point that you made was this. The guy said, they always get away.
Okay. Right. Well, he meant N-word.
How do you know he didn't mean
How do you know he didn't mean somebody that broke into a house recently got away and always get away?
There you go. You know, we've had in our neighborhood.
Mr. Henry, in your neighborhood, I'm sure you've got 24-hour security, armed patrol.
No, we do not. We've had bikes stolen.
I'm from Detroit. I live in Detroit. Recently, we had home invasions where people.
If you're from Detroit, you've got to be black, and then you know what I'm saying.
No, I'm not.
If he's from Detroit, he's what?
You're not black, and you're from Detroit.
Yeah, I'm white American.
The reason why
I live right by.
Well, the reason why.
Okay. Good call. John, I got to take a break. John, I got to go. But you made a very good call, and you made some good points. 877-876-PHIL. I think you've got to stop jumping to conclusions here, Dane.
Well, Phil, I apologize if I'm doing that. But the guilt of this man is being clouded over by a lot of people who I think they've got a I think they're shaded a bit by their home ownership and their elitist.
All right, hold on. 877-876-7445. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Henry.
You know what I mean?
No. Famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me is Dean Wheeler as we talk about the George Zimmerman arrest. Mr. Zimmerman was arrested today by police in Florida and is in custody. He was arrested for second-degree murder, not manslaughter, not first-degree murder, second-degree murder. And part of the rationale for second-degree murder is that you have to exhibit a, quote, depraved mentality. And what they mean by that is a willful disregard for the life of somebody else. And that means that it was above and beyond what would be called for instance, in self-defense. If the guy was defending his life, maybe there would be a justifiable mindset there. At least that's what I think.
Well, Mr. Henry, you know...
Well, hold on. We got Dean Wheeler on the line with us. Go ahead, Dean.
Well, you know, I think what's happening here is that you're trying to find, you and your callers are trying to find ways to show that George Zimmerman acted in some kind of a rational way. We know that he acted almost like a mindless animal, waving his, I don't know if he waved his gun around, but I think you can well imagine this young man walking down the street, turning around and seeing a truck following him. And what is that like for a black person in America to see headlights behind them, following them? This has got a very powerful, very, very powerful imagery. He turns, he sees headlights. Here's this Zimmerman waving his gun, or I don't know if he's waving it.
He's not waving his gun. There's no evidence that he waved his gun.
Well, there is evidence that he fired it. You'll agree with that, won't you?
Yes, I will agree with that.
There is evidence that he fired it.
But the evidence as to why he fired it, one needs to, I think, continue to, you got to at least consider it. 877-876-7445, Phil Henry Show, this is Kevin. Go ahead, Kevin. You're on with Dean Wheeler.
Oh, hello. I was just, I wanted to comment on that, because I know I live in Alaska, and it's not uncommon for you know, people to follow us and see us, and certain parts of our neighborhoods, we're allowed to shoot people and get away with it, pretty much. Basically,
what do you mean, follow you? Are you a Mexican or a black? What do you mean, follow you?
Oh, no, I'm a white person. And
what do you mean, follow you?
For you to say that people from Detroit have to be black, or people are from one city, they have to be...
Well, you're from Alaska. You're from Alaska. What would you know about that? I'm asking you, who's following you in Alaska? What do you know about Detroit?
We have neighborhood watch everywhere. There's neighborhood watch all over the United States. For you to think that...
But you're in Alaska, so what would you know about Detroit up there? You don't know anything about... You don't... The only thing you have up
there
are yourselves. You have each other. You have each other in Alaska.
Oh, no, we don't.
You've been all over the states?
Oh, no.
In Alaska, you have each other.
The cops don't come out for murders because they get murdered themselves. I mean, Alaska's way worse than down in the lower 48th, and despite what you guys may think...
Well, no, that's ridiculous. Alaska is, they have cruises going up there all the time.
It is ridiculous.
They have cruises.
People from Detroit,
don't they have cruises?
People from Detroit have to be black, right? If people from Alaska, they have to be native, right? No, they don't.
No, people from Alaska have to be white.
No, they don't.
People from Alaska have to be white.
Well, in my opinion.
How many black people are here in Alaska?
Not many.
You know how many?
Not many.
You know how multicultural America is?
America. Well,
America is very multicultural.
What do you mean? That's,
and yet there are.
I know America is. I know America is. I know America is multicultural, but not Alaska.
Is Detroit a part of the United States? Is Detroit a part of the
yes.
United States?
Yes. Detroit is part of the United States.
Is Alaska,
Alaska
a part
right
of the United
now.
States?
That
is Alaska part of the United States?
True. Only
are we all wrapped
years?
Around the same U.S. constitutional laws?
Only the, last 50 years. Only the last 50 years.
Well, what does that mean?
Alaska has been part of the United States for only 50 years.
And what does that mean?
I think you know what it means.
No, I don't know what it means. What does it mean?
Sure. Sure, kid. Whatever you say.
Well, what is... Don't patronize the... What do you mean, sure, kid? Whatever you say.
Alaska has... All right, you sounded very young, sir. I forgive me. Alaska has a lot of white... Let's face it, a lot of white people that went up there looking for gold and got stuck.
And they all left because they couldn't find it. And now we have a lot of white people.
They got stuck up there.
There's very little white people, actually. There's not very many white people. There's less white people than anybody else.
Is that right? Then let me ask you a question. How come every time I watch that show, Alaska State Troopers, all I see are white faces?
Because that's the troopers.
Every time.
They're not in the middle of the criminals that they arrest. If you're a white man and you go in the village, you'll be killed. Nobody will ask what.
No, I didn't say the village. What are you talking about, the village? I'm talking about just regular.
In Alaska,
out on the freeway.
Here's why you get into trouble.
You hang out.
Right, hold on. Hold on. Hey, this kid is like
somebody up here.
So, the kid doesn't want to hear what you have to say.
Can you people hear? Whoa.
I'm saying to this kid, the reason why he's getting followed is he's hanging out at these Indian villages. Right?
Well, yeah. All right, so let's say
why are you hanging out? No, you.
So
we're talking about you
followed.
Now. Is that why you... No, we're talking about you. Why are you being followed?
Right, so. Yeah, because you hang out in the Indian villages.
Are you hanging out
I
in the Indian villages?
I walk around Mountain View. No, because I walk around Mountain View, and that's the worst part that's the worst part of Anchorage. So cops are always following everybody. But they don't get
cops
out of the car. They don't get out of
cops
the car.
Neighborhood
Watch is affiliated with the police.
No, Neighborhood Watch is not the point. You know, son, this is why this kid is such a dick.
Okay, see you later, punk. Anytime I got to scream into the phone so people can hear me.
Did you hear what that kid called? He called me bitch.
I heard what he said. But the problem with that kid was that, you know, there's only so much we can take of the meth addicts tonight, kid, before, you know, we've got to hang up on you or you self-destruct like you just did. 877-876-7445 is the number here on a world-famous Phil Hendry show. Let me go down to Alan here. Alan, you're on the Phil Hendry show. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me, Phil. I love your show.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Hey, Dean, I have a question for you.
Yes, uh-huh.
All right. Were you there when the whole incident occurred?
Yes, because it was...
You were there?
There?
You were
no.
Standing there watching?
No, but I... For the tapes and everything that's been said,
no,
yes,
that's not
I was there.
Question.
Well, that's what you're saying, though, isn't it? In virtual terms, I was there.
The reason... The
in virtual terms...
You are saying it's virtually impossible to be self-defense, that's what you're saying, right?
It's absolutely impossible, yes. He's guilty.
That's only because Trayvon was an African-American. He's automatically innocent
because
he's an African-American.
No,
yes.
That's wrong.
Because you weren't there.
I'll tell you why. No, it's because the other guy had a gun and the kid didn't. Wow.
That doesn't...
What's so difficult to figure out about that?
People who don't have weapons, and sometimes they have to use their guns. Does that mean that's not self-defense either?
Really? What was the deadly force being used against Mr. Zimmerman that he had to pull his gun and...
Well, there was witnesses.
Was it the Skittle bag? Was it the Skittle bag?
On top of George.
It was the... Oh, and that's deadly force. And so that was the Skittle bag that maybe he was hitting with. Or maybe he was hitting
with
the iced tea.
Actually, because you can't break someone's nose with a Skittles bag.
Well, you could with a phone, or maybe a iced tea, or maybe he just scared him with his hoodie. You know, kid, you got a real...
Why don't you stop calling people kid?
Kid,
you
know,
you guys believe in too many fairy tales. I'm telling you how it is.
What, am I drinking my Kool-Aid? Am I drinking my Kool-Aid?
Yeah, I think you are drinking. You're not only drinking it, you're siphoning it. Because I can tell you that...
Well, what are you saying that is so raw? You know, what this gentleman is saying, you weren't there. He's right. You know, what we have is tape on the 911 calls. We have some eyewitness testimony, which I don't know what that is. I don't know who those people are. They've had all kinds of screwy, contradictory things. We do have some videotape of Mr. Zimmerman's post-arrest of whatever injuries may be there. We have Mr. Zimmerman's statements himself, which I suspect is going to be the heart of this.
But can I say something, Mr. Henry, because you're going on and on and on.
What?
Phil, can I ask you a question?
I was going to say, the statements of Mr. Zimmerman are very... Would you be quiet, sir? I'm talking.
Don't tell him to be quiet. He was asking me a question.
The statements of Mr. Zimmerman will be very pivotal because he's going to be asked 100 different ways what was said between him and they'll probably use this terminology, the Negro or the Black.
Why would they use that terminology?
Because
those are your words, not
that's
theirs.
What you, that it's the South. That's what you're forgetting.
So in the South, we're going to have a prejudiced jury, a bunch of hillbilly cops, and essentially it's going to be a process that is, and yet Mr. Zimmerman's been charged with second-degree murder. So that kind of goes against your assumption that this is a sort of hillbilly Mayberry RFD situation.
Well, they're going to coach him in his statement.
Go ahead, sir.
All right. It is confirmed that Zimmerman was a neighborhood watch captain, right?
Yeah, but that doesn't have any police or enforcement any more than...
No,
you know.
I know that, but that's not what I'm saying.
Right.
It's his job.
I think confirmed, I mean, I guess.
If he sees anything suspicious, he's supposed to report it. That doesn't mean he's racist, and he didn't know he was Black. When he called in,
we got a situation here. Yeah, but you're going on and on and on and on and on and on about him calling. The situation is this. Yeah, he called. Maybe he didn't call. He did call. He, you know, that's fine, and I grant you all that, sir. The problem is the following thing. A gun that was a hidden weapon, because he had a permit to carry a concealed weapon, was pulled, shots were fired into a man's body. Whether he had the right to call, not call, hold on for a minute. Is it illegal to what?
Mr. Henry, I'm the guest.
You're saying, well, he's...
Wait a minute. You guys are giving me all of this. Hold on, Dean. Is it illegal to follow a man? It's illegal to stalk people. At some point, there is a law that says you can't stalk somebody. Now, whether or not that comes into play here, I don't know. But we got a gun being pulled, sir. You guys are talking about whether he was driving behind him, whether he was driving in front of him, whether he did this, whether he did that. We have to establish, and I think that this is the thing. The cops are going to establish only one thing. Was this guy's life in such danger that pulling that weapon and firing it was legally called for, or is legally protected? That's it. That's the only thing. That's the all this bull crap about was he following, was he not following? Hold on. You guys keep going off about whether this kid looks suspicious. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. There's a lot of suspicious people. You walk up to them and say, hey, what are you doing here, man?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and you say, and the kid says, I was just walking down the street. Zimmerman says, here's the conversation. You got a problem with me? No. Will you do now? Punch. You know, that's a very convenient recollection. There's not a lot to remember. You don't have, the cops are going to ask him 1,500 times what was the conversation, and all you have to remember is I said no, as opposed to a conversation that a reasonable person might have, which is, have you got a problem with me? No, sir, I don't. I was following you. We've had break-ins, but it's good. I mean, that's what maybe a guy would say if he's interested in diffusing and otherwise, you know, not escalating a situation. George Zimmerman is saying he simply said no. That's a very neutral comment. He doesn't have a lot to remember there. The cops are going to grill him 55 different ways on that conversation, a lot of things. And personally, I don't believe him.
Thank you, Mr. Henry.
Well, what are you going to say?
And you, Dean, I don't want you to keep giving me... Hold on. What
are you going to say if he's found
innocent? I'm a guest on the show, and why aren't you talking to me?
Will you hold on, Dean? I'm sorry, sir.
I said, what are you going to say if he gets, both of you, not you, Phil, not so much you, but what are you both going to say if he's actually found innocent and proven innocent in a court of law?
Wait a minute, wait. You're ignoring what I just said. You're ignoring everything I just said. You're ignoring everything I just said. You're going right to the verdict. Why don't you look at what happened, man? Listen to what happened. Look, I'm not asking you to say that the guy is guilty. I'm asking you to look at what happened. I'm asking you to look. Get this guy on hold, buddy. He's driving me nuts. Not you, sir. I'm asking you to just listen to what was said. What sounds reasonable? There's only one thing that has to be proved. When George Zimmerman pulled that gun and fired that weapon, he had no choice. It was stand your ground.
Right,
it was the Florida law. It was the Florida law. It's stand your ground. Right now, the police preliminary investigation is, no, that wasn't quite what happened. We'll see. He's got a defense attorney. He's got a big freaking mountain to climb, man, because those cops are going to ask him all about that fight. They're going to ask him not once, not twice. They're going to ask him 100 times how that fight went down. And if he doesn't remember it the way it went down every single time, they're going to call him a liar. He better remember how that fight happened. He better remember what he said to Trayvon Martin. The cops are going to ask him 100 different ways what happened to see if he's lying. Cops do that, as you know.
If someone's sitting on top of you, but if someone's not sitting on top of you and they're not beating on you, but you want people to believe that they are,
then you have to remember how you constructed that story, and you have to remember to say it the same way over and over and over again if it didn't happen that way. No, there isn't. There are witness accounts to conflicting things. So I got a break. Thank you very much, sir, for your call. And we're going to be right back. And Dean Wheeler will get back to. Sorry.
You got to get pissed.
I don't care if he's pissed. He's buttoning with all kinds of stuff. We're right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. We have to break. My
Truth
producer told me
is
that
our
we have
bitch.
To break.
The Phil what Henry
about
me? Show.
I'll get back to you.
Oh, boy. He did.
Listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL. Dean Wheeler is with me. You wanted to say something. I'm sorry that I had to preempt you in the last phone call, but I wanted to talk to that young man, or you know, who was asking me some questions.
Well, he asked you one question, Phil. But all right, I'll give you that. I want to say that I think what we're missing here. I'm not trying to demonize George Zimmerman. I just want people to stop drinking the Kool-Aid.
What Kool-Aid?
Well, the Kool-Aid that says that what he said, you know, that what George Zimmerman said to the police is what happened. He said that this kid walked up and punched him. How do we know that Zimmerman didn't get out of his truck, walk right up to the kid, stick his gun in the kid's gut, and pull the trigger?
Well, okay.
Why don't you believe that? Everybody's believing the other one.
Well, the other version is that the kid came up and punched him in the nose after a very innocent exchange of some kind.
Right. I mean, that to me is the most unbelievable thing I've ever heard in my life. I've never heard anything so asinine.
Well, it's not that far-fetched.
What?
The fact that he said to the kid said, "Have you got a problem?" "No." "Well, you got one now." Boom. I mean, it does sound like something out of a TV show, you know.
Well, I don't even know if it's out of a TV show. It's the most fantastic thing I've ever heard. He said, what?
He said, the kid walked up to him and said, "Have you got a problem with me?" And he said, "No." And the kid said, "Well, you got one now." Boom.
That's the most asinine thing I've ever heard. How do we know that Zimmerman didn't get out of his truck, stick his gun in the kid's gut, and say, "Suck on this," and pull the trigger?
Well, come on. You talk about an outlandish television.
Well, we don't know, do we? Trayvon Martin isn't around. That probably is what the kid's dead, so that's more likely what happened.
And why is that more likely?
Because the kid's dead. And how do we know that this Mr. Neighborhood Watch, this wannabe, CSI Miami guy or whatever he thinks he is, got out of the truck, stuck the gun in the kid's gut, and said, "Do you have a gun?" "No." "Well, suck on this."
And you mean like out of Taxi Driver?
Out of the, I'm sorry?
Like on a taxi driver?
Well, Mr. Henry, you're being a little absurd.
Well, that exchange is from the movie Taxi Driver. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know that. I'm not familiar.
The exchange of, have you got a gun? No, we'll suck on this, is from Taxi Driver. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Let me go to a phone call here. We are going to continue with this next hour, guys. Here's Randy on the Phil Henry Show. Randy, go ahead.
I'm somewhat in agreement with the person you're talking to. Here's my point, and I was saying
Absolutely,
that we don't know the other side of the story. We're hearing from Zimmerman, who have ulterior motives of not telling the truth because he doesn't want to go to prison for the rest of his life. So he's going to tell you what he wants you to believe to keep him out of prison, and or the death penalty, or first-degree murder. And all I'm saying is we're hearing one side of the story because the other side, the guy is dead. And all I'm saying is
I can tell you Trayvon Martin's side. The guy came up and said, suck on this.
You don't know that he said that. That sounds more preposterous than the other thing.
I'm not saying that. What I am saying is we won't know what happened because we'll never hear the other side of the story.
We will get a trial, and there will be evidence presented.
Right, Phil evidence. Henry. God, Henry, why don't you wake up and smell the
Pacifico. Phil Henry.
877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back. Second hour here. Dean Wheeler with the Northern California Holistic Center. We're going to have Vernon Dozier back on the line with us as well. And kind of a give and take. Larry Grover is going to join us. Some pro and con on this thing because, Dean, we've been hearing an awful lot, obviously, from you. And I appreciate you being with us. On the story of George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin, but it is kind of a one side.
Well, yes, it is one side, Phil, and the reason why it's one side can be explained. My position on this is one-sided. If you can turn that, shut that door, because I'm on the air on the Phil Henry Show. Shut the door. I'm a little bit put out with the fact that I think I was marginalized in that last hour when you were engaging the callers.
The young man had addressed me.
Well, he'd addressed me as well. And here's my larger point. You know, let's quit drinking the Kool-Aid.
Boy, if I hear that word one more time.
Well, it's a word that is viable and is relatable, Mr. Henry, because George Zimmerman was driving his truck down a street. He saw a kid in a hood. I'm going to give you a scenario that the evidence, quite frankly, may support as well. We've got a lot of people who are saying, well, you know, wouldn't you do this and wouldn't you do that? Wouldn't I do what? If I see a young man walking down the street in my neighborhood, I most likely would say to him, because I accept the existence of other people in my neighborhood besides myself and people that may dress differently, I might ask him if does he live here, and if I were frightened of what he looked like, and I understand he was unusual, I guess they don't have a lot of African Americans there. Then I would go to my neighborhood, I don't know, you know, call the police or something, but I certainly...
You would call the police if you saw an unusual kid?
No, what I want to say is this. It's just as likely that George Zimmerman drove up to the kid and said something like this. Hey, homeboy, what's up? What's up now? Boom, 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 boom. Kid drops. Zimmerman turns. Wheels the truck around, goes back to the street sign that he said he was standing under, and is staring up at it after he has injured himself. And there's nothing unusual about a man. It sounds ridiculous, but he could have run his own face into a curb. He could have beat his own face into a curb to make it look like So you've got this kid that has been driving him nuts. He's upset that he can't confront the kid. He drives up to the kid and says, hey, Holmes, what's up now? Boom, 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 boom. Gets out of his truck, slams his face.
Slams his face into the curb.
Yeah, slams his own face into the curb.
And what about the witnesses that say they saw someone sitting on his back?
Phil, I got a story for you. In World War II, pilots that were flying long hours and had lacked sleep and were using a lot of amphetamines to keep themselves awake would report seeing gremlins on the wings of their aircraft. Thank you.
So this was a hallucination?
I'm telling you that in World War II...
No, I understand in World War II the pilots saw gremlins. You telling me this was a hallucination?
I'm telling you that people see things. Especially colored by what it is they have been drinking, what drugs they've been using. But there's nothing that says Zimmerman didn't drive up to Trayvon Martin and said to him, you know, whatever they say, homeboy or however, boom, 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 boom. I don't know how many shots were fired.
Well, it wasn't boom, 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 boom. I don't either, but it wasn't that many.
Okay. Well, how many then?
I don't know, but it wasn't boom, 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 boom. I think it was probably one shot. But I will look for that.
All right. And then he gets out of the truck, sees what he's done, beats his own face into the curb. That's, you know.
Yeah, okay.
Why is that so difficult to believe, but the rest of it, I don't believe.
Let me get on the line here, 877-876-PHIL. Let me get on the line here, Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. And, Larry, I know you have been following this. We generally don't have you on the show to talk about these kinds of things, but I know I've got a very explosive issue here. You're mostly a political guy. Tell me what you think.
Well, I've got to tell you, you know, right away, you know that I am opposed to what Mr. Wheeler is saying here. I don't believe that it was boom, 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 anything. I think that what happened was very much a concerned citizen. Mr. Zimmerman saw an individual that he does not usually see in his neighborhood. He confronted this young man in some way. Whether or not the 911 operator said, don't do this or don't do that, Mr. Zimmerman confronted him, and Mr. Martin, who had already said to his girlfriend, I'm going to, you know, say something to this guy because I don't like being followed. Of course he's going to say something. You just said it. He doesn't like being followed. Who is this?
That's Dean Wheeler.
I'm Dean Wheeler. All right. Okay, fair enough. He doesn't like being followed. I don't like being followed either. I don't blame you for saying that. But when you don't like being followed, you turn around and you say, why are you following me? You don't take a guy's face and slam it into bricks until his face is bloodied up.
That's a very extreme point of view.
See, what you guys are doing are engaging in a whole lot you're coming up with your own hypotheticals and you're speculating on stuff. We got people saying that he drove up and went boom, boom, boom. We got another guy saying, you're saying, Dean, that then he slammed his own face into the bricks. You're saying, Larry, that in point of fact, Mr. Martin grabbed his face and slammed him into the curb. You guys have got all of these wild imaginings, and the only thing we know for sure...
Well, the only thing we know for sure is that this young... Hold on, please. Mr. Henry was speaking.
No, go ahead, Dean.
Well, I'd like to finish what I was going to... I'll finish. The only thing we know for sure, Phil, is that there's one dead young man, and this guy Zimmerman's... I don't even think his nose looks...
I beg to differ. I saw a picture of his nose. It looks like someone really flattened his nose.
Did you see it pre... I'm going to have to go back and look at the pre-booking photo. I don't deny that his nose was broken. I don't deny that at all. By the same token, I could even imagine that this guy, Martin, might have even thrown a punch. Whether it was the first punch, I don't know. Whether this guy Zimmerman had pulled his gun first and Martin threw the punch in self-defense.
What are you talking about now? You were just saying to this guy...
That I do agree with that.
No, you were just saying to this guy that's some far-fetched stuff. Now you're coming up with that. Huh?
Why is that far-fetched? If he sees the gun, Mr. Martin throws a punch to disarm the man.
What TV show are you watching?
Well, we know. What do you mean TV show? It's no TV show. It could very well be. He grabbed the guy's hand and then threw a punch. I don't know. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Hang on for a minute. We're talking with not only Dean Wheeler but Larry Grover here about George Zimmerman and the arrest. You know, all of this stuff is just the imaginings of those of us who weren't there. Now, yeah, we have a right to speculate, and we will. And we will talk about it. But there is very much something coming into play, and that's people's experience. If your experience lends itself to talking more authoritatively about maybe a point of view from the Zimmerman standpoint, then you're going to see it that way. If your experience is more from the Trayvon Martin point of view, you're going to see it that way. If Martin threw a punch, it doesn't mean it was the first punch. It doesn't mean that it was thrown before Zimmerman pulled the piece. By the same token, if Mr. Zimmerman pulled his gun, it could very well have been after Martin had thrown this punch, hit him in the face, and dropped him. Now you're on your back. You've just been assaulted. I guess out comes the gun. It all, I'm telling you guys, and nobody's paying attention to me, you got to pay attention to me. It all is going to come down to the statements that Zimmerman gave and whether they're consistent over and over and whether they comport with what witnesses saw and whether they comport with what's on the 911 tapes and whether Mr. Zimmerman is believable or not. That's what it's going to come down to. And you're going to have to hear his testimony in court. You're going to have to hear what his statements were to the cops. You know, because the police have a way of finding out when people are lying to them, and they don't just ask you the questions once. They ask it over and over and over again. All right, we're going to come back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show with Larry Grover. Vernon Dozier is going to be joining us, Margaret Gray as well, and, of course, we have Dean Wheeler on the line here on the Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Margaret Gray has joined us, 877-876-PHIL. What was the comment, Margaret?
I'm here in Los Angeles. The question that I have is very simply this. Why are you even talking about this when we don't know what happened, when we never will really know what happened? It is pointless for us to talk about it, Frank.
Hi, Phil. It's Frank Gray.
Yeah, Frank. How you been?
Phil, I'm better than Custer. Listen. Margaret's right. You don't have you're talking about this, and it's absolutely pointless because you don't know whether she pulled a gun, whether she didn't pull a gun, whether.
The gender confusion.
Yeah, I understand that.
Don't take the phone away. You don't know if she pulled when she pulled the gun, the other guy hadn't said, "Oh, really? Well, how about some of this for dessert?" And hit her in the nose, broke her nose, and the next thing you know, the two of them are on top of each other, and she pulls her gun and shoots this other guy.
Well, that's what everybody's saying.
Frank, let me do it. Nobody knows, and you're wasting valuable airtime talking about this issue. Now, I've been listening all day long. I've listened to the Sean Hannity show, I guess. What were you listening to?
I monitored Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, all of the shows are talking about this, and they sound like idiots. I'm trying to just offer to you this opinion. You sound like an idiot talking about this.
I don't think it's that.
Well, all right. If I sound like an idiot, then I'm sorry. You know, but it's a hot topic.
Well, you just said that, and I let the record show you belched, because this is what you did. You went, it's a hot topic. topic. That's what you did.
No, he didn't.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
877-876-PHIL, as we continue talking about this. No, I don't think it's a waste of time. Let me go up here to Mark. Mark's been hanging on. Mark, you're on the Phil Henry Show here. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Henry. Your other guest, Mr. Wielder, was right to an extent. What we do know is this. That man followed that kid. That kid did nothing unlawful. He wasn't breaking any laws. He wasn't bothering anyone. He had a perfect right to be there. His dad resides there, or his future stepmother resides there. So he was there lawfully. He wasn't bothering anybody. This guy followed him because he automatically assumed that he was guilty and suspicious. Then he had the nerve to confront him, okay? So he confronts this kid, and yeah, whatever happened from that point on, we don't
know.
He
punched the guy.
Well, hold on, Larry. I'm sorry, Mark. So whatever happened, Larry, what did you want to say?
Well, I just wanted, you said that the guy didn't do anything wrong, but he punched the guy in the nose. As far as I know, that's illegal.
Well, yes, yeah, sir. You're absolutely right, sir. But my point is that the kid was doing wrong up until the point that he was confronted. And I don't think that he did anything wrong. And well, you know, maybe he went off the... But these are two confrontational people.
We don't know. We don't know what, you know.
We don't know.
Well, that's right. The you people talking about this is a big fat waste of time, because we'll never know until the courtroom proceedings.
Well, I'm a lawyer, and I've been a lawyer since you can't, you know, talk radio destroys these things. By the time this gets to trial, you're going to have more idiots on the talk radio program.
What does that mean? You know, I think a lot of us were educated very much by the O.J. Simpson. I thought the O.J. Simpson trial was a great example of the public discoursing on a topic and learning about the legal process. We learned a lot, and I was proud of this country, the way we at least paid attention.
Well, you know something, this is not the O.J. trial. This is a slam dunk. And
How is this a slam dunk?
Oh, this kid was in the... This kid with the hood... What's that about?
Wait a minute. What do you mean with the hood?
It was raining that night. Ma'am, it was raining that night. Okay.
I understand that. I'm very liberal, usually.
By the way, I've been black 53 years, okay? And I'm telling you that the city of Sanford has an issue with that. Their police department has an issue with that. We're all under scrutiny. We're all suspicious. And that's wrong. And everyone calls these talk radio shows, and they make comments in defense of George Zimmerman as though he had the perfect right to shoot this kid. Like, this kid did something to, he got suspended from school. Like, that has anything to do with his being shot. It has nothing to do with
it. What's he doing there? What's he doing there? That's the part. Why is he walking on that street?
Are you kidding? What do you mean, why is he walking on the street?
I'm sorry, Mr. Henry, because he went to the store, the convenience store, to purchase a drink and candy for his little brother.
That sounds pretty far out to me.
Let the man finish.
Well, you're one of those
he's walking down the street.
You have no idea. You're one of those people that makes excuses for George Zimmerman. You think it's okay to shoot people, poor white people and people of color, without any...
I'm very liberal, and I've supported a great many of the liberal causes, but I just... What's going on? I don't understand.
Phil, I've been an attorney for a long time.
I understand, Frank.
All right, and I just want to agree with this gentleman. I'm married to this woman, sir, so... believe me, you have my sympathy. Let me just say that whatever Zimmerman did, I think she did it the wrong way. And I think Trayvon Martin, whatever she did it innocently. You see?
Well, so, as I said before, you have two confrontational people. Neither one of them are willing to back out. And by the way, sir, the Stand Your Ground law isn't necessarily a bad law. It was used improperly in this case. But let me say
that because George Zimmerman, who is, you know, he's a dim-witted looking man. I'll give you that. I grant you that. George Zimmerman looks like about 100 yards of dump with the butched off hair.
That is very racist of you to say that.
Why?
What do you mean he looks dumb?
Well, with the the hair skinned off. What is he supposed to be anyway? That I'll give you that. Zimmerman looks like some kind of a creep.
Believe me, buddy, you have my sympathy.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Margaret and Frank, and I thank you very much, Mark, for hanging on with us. Very good comments, and thank you for sharing your experience living in the community there. That's very, very good. 877-876-7445, The Phil Hendry Show. Mm-hmm. Let me get over here to another caller. I got Bruce hanging on the line here. I don't think this is Bruce any longer. I think we just lost that call. Let's move over to Alan is gone. We have Brent. Brent, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Well, Phil, quite a number of interesting calls. I just think from what we know, from what we can glean,
I think the show sucks.
Well, that's
I'm not asking you what you think. Okay, go ahead.
I'm enjoying the show. Thank you. I think that you know what we heard, the funeral director who buried put this poor young boy to rest. Said that he had no marks on him. He said that he had no marks on him whatsoever. And questioned, so he wasn't in a fight. He had no marks on his face other than being shot. It was terrible, but it was a close-range shot. So it wasn't like a boom, boom, boom from the car. He was shot at close range. So some of the parts of the
car. I don't know.
When you say close range, sure, you can lean out of a car and stick it right in a guy's gut and say, suck on this, boom, boom, boom.
You could do that, but wouldn't that? I mean, then that's not supported by that phone.
Well, you see, you don't sound like you're very sure. You sound like you're not very sure of what you're saying. I'm trying to tell you that you can lean out of a car and say, "What's up, homeboy?" Boom, boom, boom.
All right, let's not give the colors version of this. Let's see if we can't stick to reality. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Margaret Gray and Frank Gray have joined us. Dean Wheeler is in there somewhere, along with Larry Grover. I believe we have Vernon Dozier coming up here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I think you're wasting your time.
Oh, why don't you let the man do his job, or do her job? Sorry.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're talking to a number of people about the George Zimmerman arrest today. And we've got a variety of opinions here. The one we do have from you, Margaret, is that we're wasting our time talking about this. And, Frank, I take it that you agree.
I do agree with the I agree with him because he makes the point. You can't keep talking and talking and talking about this. At some point, you've got to let the prosecution, the defense, the judge, the jury. And as long as people talk about these two men, about what happened, no one knows what she did, what George Zimmerman did when she pulled the gun, or why she pulled the gun. No one knows what Trayvon Martin did when she supposedly confronted Zimmerman and punched her. No one knows
The bigger issue, but you don't mind, Frank.
Go ahead. I don't give a shit.
Well, the bigger issue, Phil, is, again, why are you wasting the time, the precious talk radio time, talking? Now, I understand that you run your show.
Yes, I do. And I don't take very kindly to people telling me how to do it. You don't have to listen to it. I get that. You have a free will, and you can do what you want, and you don't have to listen, and you can listen to another show. But if you're going to listen to my show, you're going to listen to it my way. I'm going to do it my way, and I don't countenance anybody telling me how.
I understand that, Bill, and I respect that. But this is one time where you're really blowing it. First of all, these people that I'm listening to on your program, and Mr. Wheeler, you in particular, you don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you mean. I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know what you mean. I don't know what I haven't had an opportunity to talk. And
it's a very good thing you haven't had an opportunity to talk because you...
Well, you know, this is what I mean, Mr. Hendry.
Well, Margaret, finish your thought, will you?
Well, my thought is, it is the most asinine, and I've been listening all day long,
to Rush Limbaugh, to all of the hosts, Randy Rhodes, all of Michael Savage, and they all sound like imbeciles, idiots, all of them. I don't care if they're left, right, or center. So I am calling, and I'm asking you respectfully to please not continue talking about this.
I'm sorry, but I'm going to.
Oh, gosh.
I'm sorry, but I'm going to.
Oh!
No, Phil.
What is wrong with her?
Well, the problem, Phil, is that he's making... I thought there's a lot of Americans that feel the same way.
Ah!
There's a lot of Americans that feel the same way.
Margaret, I'm going to continue to talk about this because it's what we call a hot topic.
Oh!
Well, 877-876-PHIL is the number. I'm going to go over a phone call here. We have L.E. L.E. on the line. Go ahead, sir. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's talk some more about this situation with Mr. Zimmerman being arrested. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Phil, for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
As you stated earlier, and you have continuously, this is a subject that everyone has an opinion. But for your guests, for your couple guests there, to indicate that, that we should not be discussing
this topic.
I think they're, you know, I'm in friends with you. You know, if they're not comfortable with it or disagree with it, hang the phone up, get off the line, and let people do what they want to do, and let's talk about it.
No, I understand. But my point is simply this, sir, is that at some point someone with sanity has to stand up and say enough.
Margaret, you made your point, and for you to keep interrupting people as they're trying to announce their opinion, I think it's totally disrespectful. I mean, we're not judging. We're just making comments on what information we have received through the media.
Can I tell you something, Ellie? I understand what you're saying, but let me say this. This is a story. This is just an example of what I mean. My sister was married for the third time last year. We went to the wedding. I looked at the dress. She asked me, "How do I look?" I said, "You look like a slut." Now, I didn't have to say anything to her. I could have let her go and wear her dress. I had to say something. You know what she did? She threw a punch. She tried to hit me. Now.
Okay, so what's the point?
What's the point?
That's your sister asking you about a dress. This is a topic that has to do with millions of Americans and our legal system.
What an ass.
Okay, go ahead, Ellie.
Absolutely, Phil. Based on the information that I have heard on the radio and TV, I've been listening as often as I can. As number one, he was told to stand down, not to follow the guy.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's great.
Hold on. I'm going to tell Margaret. Margaret, would you be quiet?
He also made a comment, Zimmerman did, that he looked like an individual was up to no good or suspicious and didn't belong there. But there are other black family members that live in that area. So how can he say that he didn't belong there? Whether there were black families living there or not, he may have had a white friend, a Chinese friend, a Mexican friend that lived in the neighborhood that he was visiting or living with. So, you know, that was wrong.
What is that?
Secondly, there's been only one person that I've heard where the news media indicated that made a phone call, and this young lady indicated that she heard someone screaming for help, and in the process of her advising 911 what was going on, she heard one shot, not a boom, boom, boom. It was one shot.
Well, that's what I mean. You know, it could have been one shot where the kids walked up to this. This is Larry Grover, by the way, L.E., and the kid walks up and he says, "Well, guess what? You know, you're ugly." Bang, he hits this guy. The guy drops on his rear end. Well, just for a moment, if let me just say, and then Zimmerman pulls the piece, and maybe he even said something like, "Why, you dirty," you know, and he used a word, and boom. And, you know...
What is that? Something out of a TV show?
That's what it sounds like.
Wait a second. I just heard somebody... You, Henry, said that Zimmerman could have beat his own face into the curb. No, I said that. Who said that? Mr. Wheeler.
Dean Wheeler said that.
Well, whoever said it sounds like a...
That's not impossible. I live in Memphis, Tennessee.
Are you kidding me? So all of a sudden...
And not long ago, a few months ago, we had a police officer that shot himself and claimed that someone else shot him. But in the investigation, it was determined and found out that he lied and he shot himself. Now, what if a man can have the courage...
I want to comment on that.
Here's my comment on that. But at the same time, that Zimmerman Martin didn't get into some kind of scuffle. It was supposed to have occurred on concrete. So what's to say that his injuries didn't occur? But you
have
the
funeral home question. Who's to say that Zimmerman didn't say to this kid, you know, in all this excitement, I kind of lost track. Did I fire 6 shots or only 5? See, that's where you guys are going. You guys are making some Clint Eastwood deal out of this. And
no, we're not. This is all based upon what was said on the tapes, what the eyewitnesses said, what
Thank
the cops
you.
Got in the interrogations. That's some
Thank
Clint.
Well, how do you know he didn't say, well, do you punk, and then squeezed off a few shots?
What the hell? You guys will go to any length.
Bill, the point that Frank is making is very simple. We've been jawjacking this up one side. We are gumming it now. We're not even taking a bite out of this. We're gumming it.
We're gumming what?
Let me ask you a question.
The topic.
Yes, yes, sir. Go ahead.
Why are you letting this couple hold on to the
you
phone?
You are gumming.
I'm about to hang up on them.
You hang up on me, you'll hear me.
You hang up on me, you'll hear from my lawyer. You are a lawyer. And they are not allowing the general public to speak their opinion.
I have to ask you, Mr. and Mrs. Gray, if you'll be quiet. If you're not, I got to hang up on you.
All right, I just want to say one more thing.
I'm sorry.
Oh, come on. There we go.
No, I'm sorry. All right, Ellie, I got to take another call, but you've made some very good points. I appreciate it, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Let's move on here to whoever we've got left after that long soliloquy. I think we've got Pete. Go ahead, Pete. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, sir. I'd like to make a comment about this thing. They are right about one thing. It is a waste of time, and I'll tell you why. In Texas, we had an issue.
Thank you.
Now, let me finish, ma'am. These two black fellas broke into a man's house. Now, his neighbor, Mr. Joe Horn, is on the phone with the police department, and he's explaining to them, look here, these colored fellas broke into my neighbor's house. They're coming outside. I got my 12-gauge double-barrel shotgun, and they're headed towards my house, and I'm going to shoot them. The police said, no, don't do that. He says, if they come on my land and them boys come over and he spread them out like West Texas in the Quan LX and all the other talking heads came over raising all kind of hell. When it was all said and done, not only did he not get charged, he was given a citizen's award by the mayor of Pasadena.
First of all, what's wrong with your comment is you refer to those guys as colored, so you've got to go back and start all over again. Otherwise, you see what I'm saying?
I don't understand, sir.
Well, what I mean is, when you said that he shot 2 colored guys, that's an antiquated term. We don't use that anymore. We say black or African American. So now you've got to start all over again. Yeah, so start all over again and use the right terms.
Why has he got to start all over again?
Otherwise, I'm going to think he's a racist. And I know you're not, correct, sir?
No, sir. My wife's from Honduras. I'm about as non-racist as they come.
Very good, sir. So if you wouldn't mind, just start all over again and use the right terms.
Yes,
why's he got to start all over again?
Wait a minute, Mr. Henry. I'm telling the caller to start all over. Go ahead, sir.
All right. Like I said, 2 black fellas breaking into a neighbor's home. Mr. Joe Horn, next door neighbor, calls the police, explains to them 2 black fellas that broke in the neighbor's home. They come out the neighbor's home and they're headed his direction. And he told the police dispatcher, if they come any closer, I'm going to shoot him, which he did. He got his double-barrel shotgun, spread those black fellas out like West Texas. And the people came raising hell about it and this and that. But not only the man wasn't charged, he was given a citizen's award from the mayor of Pasadena.
And she shot them, right?
He shot them, yes. An old man shot them both.
Old man. So she shot him. She shot 1 or 2?
He shot them both at the same time. They were walking like side by side. He let
well, what is this West? And she spread them out?
Yes.
Okay, we got the story. We got the story, and very good. And you're right, sir, because I remember the story. We covered it extensively.
So why are you still talking? Now you're talking about...
Would you please be quiet? Pete, thank you. Yes, you're right. And that story was covered extensively, and you are right. The guy got a citizen's award. Why is it different? Different states, number one. Different circumstances, slightly. These men were committing a crime. This young man that was shot in Florida...
Wait. My wife just asked you why you're still talking about this.
Would you shut up? We'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL to wrap this up mercifully for another night.
Oh, God, no. God, please, no, Phil.
Yes, we're going to wrap it up.
She's got to wrap it up. What are you going to do?
Right.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
And that's the part that I don't like.
All right, hold on. Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. As we finish up our discussion here of the, and I know you guys are driving.
Yeah, we're driving, and he's trying to tell me that.
I'm just telling you to slow down.
Tell me to slow down. The other thing I don't like about the woman that I married is that he's always opposing me politically.
I'm not opposing you, Frank, politically. I simply disagree with you.
Well, don't disagree with me.
Why can't she disagree with you?
Because I'm the man. You know what? I'd backhand you.
Frank, now, Frank, not in the face. Please. Oh.
Yeah. How's that feel?
You're not hitting her, are you?
No, he tried to get me. You know, he knows.
I know what?
You do that one more time, and I'll retaliate, and I won't care what happens to the automobile.
Oh, is that right?
Ow. Well, he slowed down. What are you doing?
I want to get a cup of coffee here at this Arby's.
Okay, so anyway, Margaret, that's nice to listen to you guys doing your thing. But what I'm here to talk with you and other people about is this case. And it is a tragic one. It is one that, you know...
We'll listen to you, Phil. It's one... I mean, you don't... You know, it is tragic. So why would you jawjack this thing to the point of a saliva-drenched gumming job?
Why are we gumming it?
You're beating it into the ground, Phil. You're beating it into the ground.
What do you want, cream?
What?
You want cream?
Yes, I'll have cream, Frank. God almighty.
What is he? Where is he?
He has gone into this Arby's to get coffee. And I'm out here talking to you on the phone.
Oh, okay.
So, really, what I'm saying is this. I get it, Phil, that it's an important issue, and there are a great many important issues that have to be discussed. But I think there is a time and a place for these discussions. And I am here as a concerned citizen to tell you that I think you're overstepping it. I think there's just far, far too much discussion of this. And there needs to be... You know what? I'm getting sick of waiting for him.
And there needs to be what?
Hold on for a minute. I'm going to go to the drive.
And there needs to be what?
And there, in my opinion anyway, there needs to be... The case needs to be resolved. Hold on. Where is Frank? And why all of a sudden is there no background?
Hi, how you doing?
Oh, hi, how you doing?
Go ahead, whenever you're ready.
All right. I would like to get, if you don't mind... A cup of coffee.
What the hell are you doing?
I'm getting coffee. I'd like a cup of coffee. A cup of coffee.
All right. Hey, Dan?
Yeah. Do you still have the beef rich? Do you still have the beef rich?
All right.
What does that mean?
Hey, Dan?
Do you have the beef rich is what my wife is asking. Do you still have a beef rich?
All right.
What is he, a retard? Are you Are you a retard?
Sir, are you a retard?
Don't call a kid that.
Excuse me. Excuse me, Phil, but it's my beef witch. Is it yours?
Sure as hell isn't your beef witch, Phil. It's my wife's.
Is it your beef witch?
No, it's not my beef witch.
All right. Hello?
Friday. It's supposed to be 7:47.
Yeah, maybe. Right. But did you include the beef witch? Oh, that stupid bastard.
Yeah, hey.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, kid, give me some of those. Give me some of the onions on the top of that, on the beef witch, will you?
Am I on the air to hear you guys order food at Arby's?
I don't care, Phil. I don't give a damn what you do, as far as I'm concerned. Thank you.
Yeah, let me have a napkin, a tray.
Okay, well, thanks very much.
Wait a minute, don't hang up yet. I've got a couple of more opinions on the Trayvon Zimmerman case.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
What did you hang up for?
What did I hang up for? What did I hang up for? They're ordering food. That's what I hung up for. They're not saying anything. And he's telling me...
He told you not to hang up.
Well, he ain't telling me what to do with his show. I told you, nobody tells me what to do, okay? Nobody. David G. Hall is joining us. David, how are you doing?
Phil, I need you to break about a minute earlier than usual, okay? Because your long-winded rants are irritating me.
Yes, sir. Anything else?
That's it.
Thank you. Okay.
We're talking about, he said nobody told him what to do.
Except for him. All right, so the number here, 877-876-PHIL. So there you go. I don't know what else. What the hell else is there? Margaret's making a good point. I don't know. What the hell else do you want me to say? I think one of the things that we're coming up here on in this country, I think, is we're approaching saturation. I think we're approaching opinion, or let me put it another way. We're approaching know-nothing opinion saturation, dumbass opinion. I'm not saying the people calling in tonight. I think a lot of them were trying to make a point that there are, there's two sides, whatever. But my guests tonight, breaking this thing down the way they did, it was just asinine. And I really do believe that, there's a point where you just can't keep hearing the same dumb opinions.
What dumb opinion did you think you're hearing?
Well, I'm hearing all this stuff about, number one, you don't know what happened. How do you know the kid didn't? How do you know the kid didn't? How do you know the kid didn't? Well, all right, so what you got to tell me is, whatever the kid did, it had to rise to the level of a guy needing to pull a gun out and pull a trigger and kill a guy, okay? Maybe the kid did a lot of stuff. What would you do, what could you do, if all you had and all he had on him was the Skittles and the tea and the phone? What can you do, only armed with that, that would cause a guy to pull a gun and pump shots into you, unless the kid was really beating hell out of this guy, and I mean really had the better of him, and this guy feared that he was going to die? I don't know, but I don't want to talk about it anymore. I'm sick to my stomach of it. And, and that's the... Yeah, David?
I want you to keep talking about it.
Yes, sir. We'll be right back in the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Well, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. This is our News and Information Hour. Bud Dickman along the way with us here, along with Robert Leonard, and this is where we sort of pick apart stuff in the news. And we are happy to have you with us. We are also online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com for all your rock and roll needs. You can get a backstage pass. You can watch our live streaming video of the show and listen to our live streaming audio and like that. We also have a podcast there. We have thousands of hours of full radio shows to listen to. So it's the real deal. Our website is not... It's not a regular radio show website. I mean, we actually have audio content, and we've got a lot of it. I mean, a lot of it. All right. I don't,
Well, you don't want to talk about it?
No, I'm sick of the story. I'm sick of the story. And
why?
Well, what else are you going to say? I mean, what is there? Most of this stuff is created, by most of the conflict around the George Zimmerman case has been created by talk radio. It's been created by talk radio.
Now, you're talking, so in other words, you're saying everybody listening is dumb.
I'm not saying people are dumb. No, I'm just saying people are manipulated when it comes to talk radio. There's a lot of people who are not listening to talk radio, and they keep clear of that garbage, and they allow themselves to think clearly about issues, and then they have a clear opinion. But the stupid stuff that you hear people say is informed by talk radio specifically, because in order to talk about the George Zimmerman case, the imbeciles that run talk radio...
Yeah, you're talking about people being imbecile. You're on talk radio.
Yeah, but I'm one of the few people that isn't an imbecile on talk radio. Oh, yeah, thank you. So in order to talk about this, you have to have a point of view, and you have to set up conflict. In order to set up conflict, you have to have an opposing point of view. And when you have two opposing points of view about an issue, then you have conflict, you have arguments. And when you force conflicting points of view together before its natural time can take place, that is, when a trial occurs, when there's more information, and so forth, then you force dumb. And dumb is what results from dumb discourse, and that's why a lot of what's being said around the George Zimmerman arrest and the Trayvon Martin case, a lot of it is just flat dumb. I don't care which side you're on. I blame talk radio.
You're biting the hand that feeds you.
Feeds me? If I was biting the hand that feeds me, I'd stop, but it ain't feeding me.
Yeah, in other words, you would be biting the hand that feeds you.
Yes, that's right. I would be biting the hand that feeds me if it was feeding me.
Well, figuratively speaking.
Yes, figuratively speaking, I'm biting the hand that feeds me. Ask me if I care. Ask me if I care.
Do you care?
No.
Why'd I know you were going to say that?
I don't know. Maybe I telegraphed it.
Somehow I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, well, I did. I did. This conflict, this, you know, racial, if you're a dumbass talk show host on the radio and you don't know your ass from a hole in the ground about anything, especially doing a talk show, the first thing you're going to do is try to come up with some, you're going to come up with some contrived situation with regard to the Zimmerman case, so you'll make it race. Now, I'm not saying that some dumbass came on here and said, boy, I tell you, that white guy Martin, white guy Zimmerman really getting a bad rap there from that black guy. I think it was something along the lines of, you know, here's a guy, Mr. Zimmerman, okay, he's white. And you have Mr. Martin and he's black. Well, my God, doesn't this guy, you know, these people, these homeowners have a right because there have been break-ins, blah, 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 blah. And in his own way, he sets up the conflict, and that becomes that conversation. Then you go over to another radio station, some other guy doing a talk show, says, and you know, this is one of the services I believe that I can do for you guys as we talk here at night. I can tell you what's really going on. Not that you don't know, but I can, let's put it this way, I can validate what you suspect. And I think it's wrong, and...
Yeah, you're going to bite the hand that would have fed you.
Yes, I'm biting the hand that could have fed me and would have fed me, but ain't feeding me. So I'm biting it anyway. Quit bugging me with that, will you, bud?
You already got that out. What?
I'll do it. That I'm biting the hand that that bit me or fed me. I don't...
Get out of here with it. Told you didn't know.
Anyway... That's how I feel about that. So let's just calm down, can we? You know, does everything have to be a freaking atomic bomb blast? Does everything got to be the apocalypse? What the hell is wrong with people? Can't we assume just once, man? I don't care. It doesn't have to be for a long time. It doesn't have to last 5 minutes. It doesn't even have to last 2 minutes. Can't we just take 1 minute, just one lousy stinking minute, and maybe just assume that not everybody is a scum-sucking dog looking to bury the truth, that maybe people are really earnestly looking for the truth, and they haven't yet figured it out, and they're confused. And whether or not you think you got it figured out, and I'm sure there are many people who, you know, think they've got it figured out, have a little charity toward your fellow man and allow him to take his time in figuring this out. Not everybody's up to speed on everything. And not everyone, if you look at the reality of the human race... when you look at the reality of the human race, and to be really honest, if you look at your own life, you know that we don't spend but a half of a percent of every day thinking about things other than ourselves. We don't think about the state of the country. We don't think about the state of the historical state of racism. People don't, whether you're white or black. It could very well be that among black people, there is a higher percentage of people that have a bigger consciousness of that. But the fact is, we still are only concerned with what's going on with us, how the hell we can get out of it, how our lives are going to be affected, how we're going to make more money, how we're going to fall in love, how we're going to get laid, how we're going to do this, and how we're going to do that. What are you laughing at?
How we're going to get laid.
Big deal, man.
I thought it was funny.
All right, you don't have to sit here and review the show as I'm doing it. You know, I don't know, but I'm just saying we got to chill out. And I get so tired of the minute something happens. And, I'm not changing anybody's mind. I understand that. But I realize that we're going to have to suffer with this for as long as this thing goes on. The same dumb stuff, you know.
What are people going to say?
It's like it always has been. It's just like OJ, man, it was race. And these people that insult your intelligence and tell you that it's not a racial issue, yes, it is. I'm not saying that it is, but that's how it develops. It develops as a racial issue. I think there's a misunderstanding. People say, there's nothing about race in this. I get that, sir or ma'am, but what you're missing is that it may not be on the face a racial issue, but it devolves or evolves that way. It redounds that way, you know.
What's all them words mean, anyway?
What a dumbass.
What'd you say?
Well, what's all them words mean?
What's all them words mean, huh? Would you look them up?
I mean, what do them words, what's those words mean?
What's those words mean? You know, your problem, bud, you wanted to get your Harley Davidson and hit the road and live the free and wild life before you got out of the third grade.
Man, that's funny.
Shut up.
Bud, there's something, born to be wild, that's great, but see if you can't make it past kindergarten first.
Be quiet. I know stuff.
Yeah, you know stuff.
You didn't know enough to stay out of the way of that tree, though, did you? All right. So that's that, and I don't want to hear any more about it. Well, I shouldn't say that. We are going to hear more about it. We're going to be talking about it until we puke, until it's coming out of our nose and our ears. Now, people say, well, what's your opinion? Well, my opinion is this. My opinion is the right call was made. They arrested this guy. As far as I'm concerned, it's going to come down to one thing and one thing only. I don't know what the hell people... It comes down to this. Did this guy have cause to pull the gun and use deadly force with it against this kid or against this this other man? I won't, I'm not going to prejudice it by saying man, kid. You know, two men, okay? There. Did he have reason to kill? You understand, folks? A guy can play his radio loud. A guy can be a slob. A guy can wear a hood. A guy can eat his Skittles the wrong way. A guy can stick them up his nose instead of putting them in his mouth. People do things that make us angry and irritate us all the time. I got a big news flash for you. It doesn't necessarily mean they deserve to die. Now, I know we joke about it a lot. You know.
Yeah, you all say, like a guy playing the music too loud, you kill a guy.
We do it on the radio. We joke about, oh, man, what I wouldn't give to shut that guy up. Nobody's going to say the guy deserves to die because he's wearing a loud sports shirt. Someone may say it, but no one seriously considers deadly force against people other than in our society, in a civilized society, you're allowed to use deadly force if your own life is threatened. Okay. If your home has been invaded, if your loved ones are threatened, you use deadly force against somebody, you're entitled to do that. We have a right to bear arms amendment to our Constitution. It's a great one, and we should continue to have it. And as I said in the pre-show, and it pisses me off, it really, really pisses me off, because every time some guy like this or some other kind of goofy scenario takes place where a guy's pulling a gun and you don't know whether he should have or not, every time that happens, the anti-gun people, man, they just have themselves a bonfire and dance well into the night because it's the greatest news they've ever gotten. Because it's just one more reason why I got to get rid of the guns. I don't get angry at them. I get angry at that stupid bastard with a gun who doesn't know what the hell he's doing with it. And I personally think, that this guy Zimmerman And if these cops are doing their job, and there's nothing to say that they will, you hear that, Sanford? See, that's the other thing. If I was a cop in Sanford, Florida, if I was a police chief in Sanford, Florida, I'd feel a little, you know, embarrassed. I'd feel embarrassed. I mean, I don't know how that guy walks out in public. And if you're a cop in that town, how do you walk out and people not looking at you like, how you doing there, Barney Fife? Yay. Sanford PD, man. Woo. Well, there's some cops there. So, of course, you don't deserve it. So what you do is you do your job. Do it a little bit better than you did in the first place. And the first thing, if you're doing your job as a cop, obviously you're going to find out from George Zimmerman, well, what the hell did you do? Give that to me again, man. Well, I was doing this and Tell me again, George, how all that happened. Cops ask these questions 15 different ways and 100 different times to find out if a guy's lying to them or not. Well, we got to get your story here, George. But you know what changed from yesterday? Because yesterday you said the guy did this, and today you said, well, now, wait a minute, man. You guys are confusing me. Sure we are. Next thing you're going to tell me, I got you so confused you don't even know what your name is. So I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but these cops, if they're doing a job, are going to find out from Zimmerman because he's the guy. You're right, Trayvon Martin isn't there, but Zimmerman was. And Zimmerman said some stuff, and Zimmerman's going to have to keep on saying that stuff. And he's going to have to know it, and it's either it actually happened or he's, you know, concocting something that he's forced to sort of memorize and keep straight in his head, and we'll see whether or not he can do that. If that's in point, you know, point of fact, what's happening. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Isn't there any sports news or something, man? God almighty, this stuff sucks.
Mel Gibson got all mad.
Mel Gibson got mad? Now, that might be fun to read about. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Also, this stupid bastard, this Foster Freeze guy, the guy that was named after the ice cream cone thing, that donor, he said another dumbass thing. We'll find out what it was. He's a GOP donor who made some dumb comment a couple of months ago. He's done it again. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Phil, now, welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show. And I know that we have on the line momentarily anyway, we're going to have R.C. Collins back on with us, who did spend last night with us during our News and Information Hour. And it was a successful time, I think. We had a very good time with R.C. We're going to bring him back on with us here. What the hell is going on with... is that him on... That's not his line.
That's a dead line.
Well, then take it off the air, man. What line is he on?
I'll get him back on.
Anyway, R.C. Collins is going to join us here. I do want to move past the Zimmerman story because, as I said, it was pointed out to me during the break, and I think it's a very fair observation. Talk radio is not alone here. You know, television and specifically Fox and CNN. And, of course, MSNBC. I mean, all of these people are about as clueless as it gets. And I'll tell you another one. Public radio, which loves to posture itself as some kind of real, woohoo, you know, real smart. Boy, those guys. R.C.?
Yeah, Mr. Henry. I'm sorry, but, you know, we were, they did have lights out, and I wasn't able to get to the phone, but I'm here now, and I'm very happy to be on.
How you doing, R.C.?
Yeah, hey, bud, what's going on?
Not much, G. Listen,
watch it with the not much G. I'm going to talk to him, okay? All right?
Well, yeah, I just want to find out if he can hear me.
Well, yeah, I can hear you pretty good right now. It was a little rough earlier on, but now I hear you.
You hear me now?
Yeah, I hear you, Robert, pretty good.
Can you hear me?
No, I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Uh-uh.
Can you hear me now?
No.
Hello, can you hear me?
I'm only kidding.
Get out of here. R.C., we're talking about... Don't fool around like that, okay?
I'm sorry, Mr. Henry. They told me that I could.
Yeah, well, don't listen to them. Listen to me. Have you been listening at all to what we've been talking about? As I told you, you know, you need to listen to the show before you can comment.
I haven't really, because I was... A lot of the guys wanted to... Well, some of the guys want to listen to a new, you know, Nicki Minaj CD, and... Some of the other guys were playing poker. We did listen a little bit, but it wasn't really our cup of tea. And
so, in other words, you didn't listen.
Well, it kind of...
It's okay.
It kind of sucked.
Oh, it sucked, did it?
Well, yeah. I mean...
So you're on my show now, but you didn't want to listen to it the preceding 3 hours because it sucked.
Well, yeah, Mr. Henry, I don't think you want me to lie about it, do you? The fact is, I turned it on, and then everybody else, a lot of the guys in the dorm said, shut that cheap whaling slut up. I mean, that's what we say. And
what do you mean, shut that cheap whaling slut up?
Tell them out of Dirty Dozen.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's a line out of Dirty Dozen, what Maggot says, so we use it whenever something come on the radio we don't like. But you shouldn't feel too bad about it, because we use it when we hear, like, Stephanie Miller or stuff like that.
Oh, that sounds just so wonderful. I feel so comforted. All right, well, what we were talking about, you know, was George Zimmerman.
Yeah, well, I heard that, but we already have opinions about like that. And I don't want to give no opinion, because I heard what you said, that people have been giving a lot of dumbass opinion out and everything.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, if you pull a weapon... Hold on for a minute. Where'd you get this, anyway?
What are you guys doing?
Wait a minute.
Oh, sorry. When you...
What are you guys doing?
Nothing.
Well, what did I hear that... Where did you get this?
I was talking about the phone. Where did he get the phone?
Well, whose phone are you on?
On Cadet Swanson's phone.
Cadet who?
Swinson.
What's his name? Swanson or Swinson?
What's his name?
Well, I thought I said Swinton.
You said Swanson, Swinson, and Swinton.
Yeah, it's Swanson.
What's God's name?
Wait a minute. What are you guys doing in that dorm room right now?
Nothing. Talking to you.
You guys are smoking weed?
No.
They ain't smoking weed. I would never put a guest on what is doing that.
Shut up. Yeah.
Whose phone are you on?
Sweetan.
Bud, I blame you.
Mr. Henry,
hold on for a minute. I blame you.
What I do?
This guy's a friend of yours and has been for a long time. I had him on the show, and he's been a contributor, and now he's in there smoking dope with his friends. Don't tell me that he isn't. Okay?
Mr. Henry, you got me all wrong.
Hold on for a minute, kid. You understand what I'm saying, Bud?
What are you telling me? I don't know about it. I can't control the actions of other people. I can only control myself.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what the apostles said when Jesus was hanging on the cross.
What?
That's what they said. They said, I don't know where it was. Am I my brother's keeper? And next thing you know, bang, 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 bang. I ain't talking about a 9mm. Those are the hammer on the nail. And they hung our Lord out to dry. And
what kind of dumbass talk? Easter's over with, okay, man? We don't need a Sunday sermon. And
yeah, no kidding.
Wait a minute, man. I ain't give a, you're just saying that you...
Don't worry about it, Robert. I got it, man. Just sit down and calm down.
Sorry.
Sit down, okay? And you too, R.C.
Well, I didn't do anything, Mr. Henry.
Just shut up. This kid, this friend of yours, this R.C. Collins, okay? This has been coming to a head for a long time.
Head?
It's been coming to an argument for a long time. This kid's in there blowing reefer with his friends.
I wouldn't know anything about it.
Uh-huh. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show.
Really, Mr. Henry, I wouldn't do it.
Shut up.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. If you're a fan of New Girl, I guess one of the episodes that I was on the air last night. The only reason why I mention that is there is an article in The Hollywood Reporter.
Oh, man, just start talking about yourself again.
Well, excuse me for a minute. I'm not done saying what I wanted to say.
Yeah, but you're going to go my television career.
I wasn't even going to say that. I was going to say... The article is about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah, but you're in it.
one mention, Phil Hendry. They just say that, you know, Lamorne Morris's character takes an assistant job to a tyrannical radio host played by Phil Hendry. That's it. I was gonna say that the article was about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and it's more about Winston, the character played by Lamorne Morris, about his Latvian basketball career. Because, actually, I have all the lines that do the exposition there. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, how come you don't want to talk about it? You're all chicken about it and everything.
Wait a minute. Wait. Hold the phone here for just a minute.
Yeah, why don't you talk about it?
No, but hold on for a minute. A minute ago, you guys just said that all I do is talk about it. Now you're saying, how come I don't want to talk about it?
Well, I mean, it seems like you should talk about it a lot, and so it seems like you do talk about it a lot.
Even though you don't.
Oh, I see. Well, that makes just so much sense. It seems like I should be talking about it a lot, so it seems like I am talking about it a lot.
Yeah.
Even though I'm not.
Right.
You guys, what I should do is order full physicals for both of you, just to make sure that you're not on drugs.
Wait a minute, man. That's dirty pool, man.
Well, hey, why wouldn't I think that when you guys are coming up with screwball things like that? I should be thinking it, and I should be saying it until I didn't say it. Who the hell knows what you're talking about?
Well, it seems like you ought to be talking about it.
I ain't talking about squat. I wanted to just direct people's attention to the article because it's a nice one about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He's in the episode, and it has this nice shot of him doing a hook shot of garbage into Winston's desk. And I happen to know whose idea that was. It was Kareem's assistant was there, and she said, Kareem, why don't you shoot the...
You give away a lot of stuff. Maybe they don't want you to talk about
it. Oh. But anyway, athletes turn actors, I think, is basically what this is. So, it was a fun show to do, and I hope and pray that... they asked me back, but maybe they won't. I don't know,
Yeah, there you go, man. You're all getting depressed and everything about it.
I don't know, and all I care is that I got work. That's all I want to do is work and work and work until I drop. I just want to work until I drop from a heart attack somewhere, like a parking garage, maybe five floors down, and they don't find me for a long time.
These articles are all about Kareem.
Yeah, they are. Well, he's a big star. Now, where does it mention me? Let's see.
Yeah, I knew you'd be looking for your name.
What is up with you, man?
Yeah, you got to get some triglycerides in your system.
What? What's a triglyceride?
That's what you're supposed to have so you don't start talking like a tard.
What are you talking about, man?
Well, I know you got to have water in your system. Is that what you mean?
Well, yeah.
Triglycerides? Anyway, this is an article about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and it says here, in New Girl, Abdul-Jabbar plays an assistant to a brash radio host, Phil Hendry, who criticizes Winston for his unsuccessful gig as a professional basketball player in Latvia. Abdul-Jabbar doesn't help him with his game, but offers friendly advice on how to avoid his boss. Abdul-Jabbar is in only two brief scenes. The experience gave him enough time to appreciate Zooey Deschanel's quirky personality. He's not in any scene with her either, so...
You're letting people know stuff they shouldn't know.
I'm sorry. She is very... She's a cool lady. Although he doesn't often show it, Abdul-Jabbar has remained comfortable in his skin when he's acting. His movie and television appearances include Bruce Lee's 1972 film Game of Death, and a whole bunch of other things that he's in. Abdul-Jabbar cites his appearance on 21 Jump Street as the most challenging because he played another character, a college athletic director trying to clean up a scandal. He found his appearance on The Simpsons the easiest because it just involved performing voiceovers. There you go. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the LA Times and The Hollywood Reporter.
Why'd you say that? Who sent you that?
What is it with you guys?
Well, you was in it.
Yeah, they mentioned me a couple of times. That's fine. That's all I care about, man. They're not going to do a big glowing thing about Phil Hendry being in when Abdul-Jabbar is the point of the article. God.
Yeah, but I bet you it pisses you off.
Hey, bud, I'm going to smack you really hard, man, to the point where it might even loosen some teeth if you don't shut up. I'm telling you, if you guys are talking to me about how I just don't, I'm fine. It's a world unto itself, man. I ain't no superstar on TV or in movies, okay? I gotta earn my place. I'm getting my chops down, I'm taking these roles, I'm taking these parts, I'm doing the best I can to support the production, and I ain't looking for any big-ass starring roles, okay? I'm looking for money. If you want to know what I really want, it's the money.
Yeah, you make a lot of money?
That's none of your business, how much money I'm making.
Yeah, you must be doing on account of it being TV and everything.
That's none of your business. But yeah, man, let's face it. Let's get down to brass tacks here, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think I'm talking out of school when I tell you that the game has changed. The economics of entertainment has changed. Even in my own industry, radio, which I've given 40 years of my life to, things are changing, baby. The way people are making money, things are changing. You know, everybody's doing that entrepreneurial thing. Everyone is out freelancing and doing their thing. Cats that I know are running their own businesses, running their own shows. That's what's happening with me. You know, and to the extent that you are making good or bad deals for yourself, that's where you're making your money. So I go out, I make my money wherever I can. I go out and, you know.
What about like playing poker?
Playing poker?
Yeah, a lot of guys are doing that.
I'm talking about in the entertainment business, okay? What do you mean playing poker?
Why don't you do like a freelance thing? Like go on and do a poker game.
I'm not doing poker because I ain't that good at poker.
What about, have you thought about speculating Wildcat and oil rigs? Because
you shut up. I told you, didn't I?
Don't hit me.
What do you mean oil rigs, man? I'm not, what is this? I'm talking about in the entertainment business.
A lot of guys are speculating oil.
A lot of guys are speculating oil, are they? Where?
California. There's still a lot of oil to be speculated here. Or, I mean, not speculate, but you know.
Yeah, uh-huh, I know. Why? Because Obama said, you know, open up the drilling?
Yeah, I'll bet he did.
Hey, listen, guys, leave the jokes to me. The fact of the matter remains that American domestic oil drilling, that's got nothing to do with what I'm talking about. So I'm just going out and I'm humping and I'm doing what I can, man. So if I can get the odd TV gig, man, I do. I ain't looking for some big freaking Emmy award win. I'm just looking to make a living, man. Okay? Make a living. I have to augment what I'm doing because, you know, read between the lines.
Yeah, the website makes money.
Yeah, the website makes money. The website makes money. But guess what? I got a partner in that business. So I got to pay my partner. My partner and I split everything in that business. So the TV bread is completely my bread. It's all mine. So like I said, you know, when it comes my way, it comes my way. All right. I don't want to talk any more about that. I don't even know why we're opening up email on the air. Charles Manson's parole bid was denied. There's a shock. There's a shock and a half. Wow. Woo! Hey, CNN, man, you might want to try a different approach on those. This is what I'm talking about, see? CNN has this debate. Gee, should Charles Manson be paroled or not? Now, I shouldn't blame CNN because I got into this a moment ago. It's one of the favorite things we do on this show is we take our own industry to task. Why? Because we can. Why? Because I'm good enough to do it. Why? Because, well, nobody else is. Rush is busy. You know, speaking of Rush, by the way, congratulations, Rush, on hanging in. And I mean that. And I don't necessarily agree with his politics. But see, this is the thing. People don't get this. I got people in my own business, saying, Rush Limbaugh, he should be run off the air. Why would you say that about a guy who's a professional? Why would you want someone who is actually good? Forget about his politics. Talk about just what the cat, you know, is. He's good on the radio. So why, you know, I don't agree with him. I'm not a Rush Limbaugh. I don't agree with the stuff he says. But I'm just talking about a guy that's a pro. And the business is so twisted around that I got people in my own business saying, yeah, Rush Limbaugh, man, I wish that guy got run off the air. Why would you want that? Because if he's successful, there's still a shot for you and me if you're in the business. Now, so he hung in against all of the criticism and all of the wishful thinking and all of the really amateurish speculation. If you ever want to see some real, real amateurs at work, just check out the mass media when it comes to my business of radio or any kind of broadcasting job. You've got some of the dumbest people, man. They don't know whether to flip or fall in it, man, these cats. Yeah, Limbaugh, looks like he's not long for the world. Oh, really? What are you talking about? You think that this is Don Imus?
That's what they thought, man. They thought Limbaugh's about as dumb as Imus.
Well, he ain't as dumb as Imus. That's what they miss. Limbaugh is a monster. This guy, he runs the freaking room, man. Ratings, advertising revenue, influence, he's got it all. Imus didn't. Imus isn't anywhere near as smart as Limbaugh. Imus got run off the air because he's a dumbass and he said something stupid and he couldn't explain why he said it. That's why he got his ass run off the air. Now he's back on. Good for him. He's a good businessman. He's outstanding with his advertisers. But he's got to stay clear of this kind of controversy because he just ain't bright enough to pull it off. Limbaugh is. And when these guys are writing their articles about how, oh, Limbaugh, you know, he's looks like it's imploding. Oh, he's losing advertisers. You know, all I had to do was read one of those articles, and I read exactly how many advertisers and what kind of advertisers were leaving, and you knew the guy wasn't in any danger at all. So these radio writers, God almighty, the industry that I'm in has got a lot of problems, but we've never had it worse than now when it comes to the stupid bastards they assign to write about this industry. These are the guys that didn't make it writing obits. This is the bottom of the barrel at any newspaper, radio. The bottom of the barrel. After you've got fired off the Lost Pet Report, after you got canned off the obituaries.
But not that, like I took them to classified.
Yeah, after you took the class, you didn't get that lawnmower ad right that was for sale. Now they move you over to the radio column. The guy that writes the radio column there's only one exception, our very dear friend Gary Lycan at the Orange County Register. He is a pro. Everybody else.
He writes good stuff.
Yeah, he writes good stuff about us. But, you know, if you are working at the, and of course, who reads newspapers anyway anymore? I mean, I don't know, you know. I don't know how they read newspaper. I haven't read a newspaper in so long. It makes me sad to think about it. There used to be a time when I in the morning I'd go out generally because I was a single guy back in the day. You'd hit the coffee shop. You know, I remember I used to go down to my little coffee shop and I'd read my sports page and I'd read the news and I'd have my breakfast. That was my world, you know. But so anyway, these guys that are working the radio column at these newspapers, these are the guys that couldn't make it. Writing the, you know, the little tiny blurb for weather and stuff like that. Now, moving on to this news here. A prison panel denied the parole. And so the reason why I brought all this up is because CNN had that debate. I told you about it. And it really was just irritating. I don't know who you guys are kidding. But it wasn't just CNN. It was also KPCC, which is a local public radio affiliate here in Southern California. And as you know, public radio thinks, well, even though we've only four people listen to us, they're very important four people because we do important stuff. Well, no, you don't. You don't do important stuff. You don't have anybody listening to you. And I don't know what the hell you guys are doing because the rest of the industry is going to hell in a handcart and you cats ain't helping it at all. And here was the big brain surgeon question they were asking over there on public radio. Should Charles Manson be granted parole? Now, I expect that from CNN. I expect it from Fox. I expect it even from MSNBC. Anybody, but public radio? I thought you guys had it all together.
What's wrong with that?
Who the hell thinks Charles Manson should get parole? Are you kidding?
Man, that is a dumb question, man.
Dumb? God. That's desperation time, man. That's some guy saying, you know, I don't know what the hell we ought to do here, but let's just ask people if they... Anybody that says that Manson ought to be given parole is a basket case. It's some guy that belongs in a nut bin someplace. Somebody ought to be on medication. I don't care. That's what I think. I don't give a damn. So a prison panel did deny that parole on Wednesday to mass murderer Charles Manson, even though Bobby Dooley said he didn't kill anybody. He was guilty of conspiracy and you name it. He's a mass murderer like Adolf Hitler. In his 12th and probably final bid for freedom, Manson, now a gray-bearded 77-year-old man, did not attend the hearing in Corcoran, California, where the parole board ruled he had shown no effort to rehabilitate himself and would not be eligible for parole for another 15 years. Manson has said over and over again that he is a product of the prison system, that he is most comfortable in the prison system, that was his mother and that was his father and that's where he was raised. It's a very, very sad, tragic, I'm not, you know, making excuses for that, I'm just saying, you know, it's just a terrible story. So if you want to learn something about Charles Manson, it isn't that Charles Manson is anything. It's that we can't create people like this. When we have kids that are raised in the penal system, we've got ourselves a big problem waiting to happen. Don't even worry about it. We got a break. Why should we break? I'm kidding. Dan just told me to break.
Yeah, you're blowing it.
All right, so I'm blowing it. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry. I was falling in love with the sound of my own voice. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
We'll get back to
Phil Henry Show.
Tell Mr. Manson we'll get back to him.
Shut up about
what?
What do you got to shut up about?
I just got to shut up. Every time I start talking about the business, I got to shut up. This is why I'm good. At least I this is why I'm a little more professional than some guys. I know when to shut it off.
Well,
I do. I know when to shut it off. If I keep going, man, I can really get into some serious. Because let's face it, the more you talk about this stuff. Stuff doesn't change in your favor. Stuff doesn't get fixed. Stuff doesn't get better. Stuff doesn't become smoother. Things don't become more logical. The more you talk about it, the more hot water you get into. That's how our business works. You know, so in other words, you don't talk about this stuff to get things changed and get things made better. You talk about it so you can get your ass fired. Look at this. I'm looking at one thing here. Mike Huckabee. Changing the course of conservative talk radio. Mike Huckabee, the only thing he's going to change the course of is, well, he ain't really change it. He'll just keep it directed in the same direction, and that is the earnings for Cumulus with a conservative talk radio show. In other words, straight down.
Yeah.
Mike Huckabee's a nice guy, but he ain't going to do any talk show that's going to make any noise. I care. What is it with these guys? Well, I can tell you, but you wouldn't believe it. All right, 877-876-PHIL. It is our news and information hour, our final segment here. So anyway, the prison panel denied Wednesday to mass murderer Charles Manson his 12th and probably final bid for freedom. This panel could find nothing good as far as suitability factors go, said John Peck, a member of the panel that met at Corcoran State Prison in Central California. Standing there before the microphone is Deborah Tate. She's the sister of murdered actress Sharon Tate. You see Deborah Tate, I believe she was a younger sister, and Deborah Tate is a pretty woman. She's an attractive woman, but you can see the years have taken their toll. And you see a woman of middle age. And you could imagine if Sharon Tate were alive, she would be a woman now of middle age. She would be a woman who had seen the glory years of her career, and now she was in her golden years. So when you look at Deborah Tate, you're sort of seeing Sharon Tate. It's been a long time. Also playing heavily into the board's decision was something Manson had said recently to one of his prison psychologists that Peck read aloud. Quote, I'm special. I'm not like the average inmate. I have spent my life in prison. I put five people in the grave. I'm a very dangerous man, end quote. Peck then spoke for the record directly to Manson, who will receive a transcription of the proceedings. This panel agrees with that statement. The panel deliberated for 20 minutes before making its decision. Manson orchestrated a series of gruesome murders on consecutive nights, as you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, had there been a death penalty, had the death penalty not been ruled unconstitutional in the state of California, there's still no guarantee that Charles Manson would be dead.
Yeah, he'd still be on death row, man, with appeals.
No kidding.
Really?
Well, I mean, look at all these guys that are still hanging out there from the 80s. I mentioned Charles Ng. Well, I don't know if he's the 80s. Richard Ramirez. If the death penalty in California had never been ruled unconstitutional, Chuck Manson might still be sitting there on death row, you know, singing his songs and making his recordings and, I don't know, you know, using somebody's cell phone. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and Phil Henry. And, of course, join us online at philhenryshow.com and get a backstage pass, live streaming video of each and every Phil Henry Show. Until tonight, guys, again for another Phil Henry Show, this is Phil Henry and
Ben Dickman
and Robert Leonard saying good night. See you tonight.
Phil Henry.